Thank you. Really appreciate that. Thanks, Regina and Keith. We'll have to have you guys come back again. That was excellent, wasn't it? Another good way to start Holy Week and remind us of worshiping the Lord and people using their talents for Him. Thank you so much. Today's Palm Sunday. We are up here clapping palms and saying, give me five, you know, because we're trying to figure out what Palm Sunday meant. Actually, Palm Sunday deals with palm branches, you know, that they waved. I always liked them as kids because you could always hit somebody next to you or use them as a fan. But I never really understood too much about what Palm Sunday meant or the significance of it until later years. But it really has a lot to do in setting the stage for what's going to happen this coming week, and it tells us who Jesus is. Remember, we're in the Starting Point series, and we're wrapping it up next week with Easter. But as we began that series, we talked about the fact that the number one question, the starting point in our faith, no matter who we are or where we are finding ourselves, is who is Jesus? And Palm Sunday helps us answer that question, who is Jesus, what did he come to do, and what does that mean to us? And so we're going to look at that event today. Before we get started and we read the scripture together, it's found in Matthew 21, if you want to turn there, or we're going to show it up here on the screen as well, to show the significance that this was an important event. There are only 8 events that are listed in all 4 Gospels. We have 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're called synoptic Gospels because they all tell the story of Jesus' life, but from a different perspective. They have a different author, and there are only 8 events that occur in all 4 books. Palm Sunday is one of them. And so the early disciples, they said, this has to be in that. It's so important. It's so significant. It's the first day of the last week of Jesus' life on earth, and it set the stage for what was going to happen. Let me give you the context of Palm Sunday just a little bit before we read the scripture. The event actually took place on March 29th, A.D. 33. The setting was Jerusalem, and in the middle of this capital city of Israel, there's a huge temple, gleaming, a lot of white marble on it. It was the heart of the nation. It captured the heart of the people. But Rome had conquered Israel a century earlier, and there was a lot of animosity and hatred between the Jews and the Romans. Every Jewish male was required to go to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. So there's hundreds of thousands of people would have been on this pilgrimage, and it was really crowded in the city. So this feeling is really electric, and everybody's all excited. Jesus had just raised Lazarus a week earlier from the grave, and this miracle was spreading like wildfire that people were hearing about it. So people were coming, and they were wondering, is this the one who's going to free us from Roman oppression? Is this the ruler that's going to come, you know, the Messiah? And that was in their mind. So you can imagine all of that going on as Jesus comes into Jerusalem. So let's read from Matthew chapter 21, the first 11 verses that tells us the story of that first Palm Sunday. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent 2 disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would teach us through this story of who you are and what you mean in our life and how we should respond to you as our King, and help it to be meaningful to us as we study what Palm Sunday was all about. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. To help us kind of get a grip on Palm Sunday and understand it, I'm using an acrostic again today of Palm, P-A-L-M. And so 4 principles that I want to share with you that kind of shows who Jesus is and what he came to do from this passage today. P, if you want to fill it in on your outline, you'll find that in your bulletin as well, stands for it's the promise of God fulfilled. Jesus came over the Mount of Olives. He's descending into Jerusalem. He had a specific request for a specific ride. He wants to get a donkey and a colt and a young one that hasn't been ridden before. And he says, well, if they ask you about taking it, just say, well, the master needs it, and they're going to give it to you. It would kind of be like me coming in on Sunday morning and asking some ushers, you know, next week on Easter or whatever, I want you to stop in Muskegon and get me a new Harley, you know, one that hasn't been ridden before, and bring it. If anybody stops and asks you about it, just say, the pastor needs it, you know, and they're going to let you take it. I mean, I don't think I'd want to be in that situation, really, but, you know, it's kind of the same that Jesus asked, but it all worked out, and it was prophesied that way in advance. 500 years earlier, it was prophesied that Jesus would come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Let me read that out of Zechariah 9:9 for you. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so Jesus' message here is showing that it's coming true. The promise that was foretold is coming true. And so really Palm Sunday is about that Jesus is coming in as king, and he is the prophesied one. He's actually God with us, but he's gentle, he's lowly, he never abuses his authority, but he's not coming to conquer, he's coming to be crucified. But the significance of the fact is that God keeps his promises. God said more than 500 years ahead of time, I'm going to send a Savior for you. I'm going to send someone to come, and God does it. And so when we think of Palm Sunday, we should realize that God keeps his promises to us. He is not only the truth, he never lies, and he always fulfills his promises. Some of my favorite promises are like Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purposes. Or Matthew 6:33, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all those other things that you need in life are going to be given to you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to watch over you. Or maybe the other passage in Romans that says, if God is for us, who can be against us? You might feel like you have some enemies against you or people coming against you, but no, they can't go against God. They can't go against Christ. He's the ruler. He's going to help us. And when we have all these promises of God, when we hold on to them by faith, like we've been talking about, that we're saved by faith and in God's grace, we hold on to them, then we know it's going to be okay. We're going to make it through some of these difficult things in life when our kids are sick or other problems come along. We know that we're okay because God is with us. God keeps his promises. And so that's the first principle that we find in Palm Sunday, is that the promise of God is fulfilled. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. A, on your outline, stands for the arrival of the king. Don't forget that there are tens of thousands of people made the pilgrimage to Jerusalem on this Passover. So as Jesus rides into town, he came through a sea of makeshift tents and shelters, kind of like an old Woodstock, if anybody was that old to remember anything like that, where people camped outside. Thousands of people came alongside to join in their excitement and to praise him. And Matthew says that as Jesus entered, all the city was moved, or it was stirred, it was shaken to its foundation because Jesus was coming in. But it's also important to note that Jesus' arrival is in direct contrast to another ruler. At this same moment that Jesus entered from the east, Pontius Pilate was entering Jerusalem from the west end, coming from Caesarea. The processions came forth from opposite directions and in opposite fashion. Pilate had an entourage of soldiers to express military might, while Jesus entered on a lowly animal to express his humility. Pilate displayed his wealth and power, while Jesus entered with a declaration of peace. Pilate was feared by the crowds, while Jesus was cheered by the crowds. So by this opposing display, I would say that Jesus purposefully contrasted his kingdom with the kingdoms of this world. And when Jesus comes into our lives, he wants there to be a clear contrast between the values of his kingdom and the kingdom values of this world. So as sometimes when we're living out our faith, we feel that struggle because we're supposed to be in the world but not of the world. Do you ever feel that struggle? Sometimes even though we have faith, we know God's going to meet our needs, we still feel like I have to have a certain financial status. I need to be able to take a certain vacation, I need to drive a certain car or motorcycle, I need to have a certain education, I need to have a certain job. And so sometimes we feel conflicted between what's God's kingdom and what's the kingdom of this world. And when Jesus comes in, he says, I'm going to be your king, but I'm a different kind of king. I'm not coming to destroy Rome. I'm not coming to be a violent king. I'm coming to be a peaceful king. And the kingdom that I'm bringing is within you. And the kingdom that I'm bringing is for salvation. And the kingdom isn't of this world. It's of a different world. You don't have to have a lot of riches to be in my kingdom. And he says, you really can't be in both. He says, if you're going to worship me as your king, then you have to accept my kingdom as well. And a lot of people didn't want to accept his kingdom, so they bailed by the end of the week. But what we see then from Palm Sunday is that Jesus is coming in as king, and he's saying, will you follow my kingdom? Some of the Jewish rulers, they had a problem because, you know, Rome was in charge for all this time, and they wanted to keep their power, so they kind of went along with Rome so that they could get along. You know, and I think a lot of Christians kind of do that. They kind of go along with the world so they can get along with them without being laughed at, without people making fun of them. And really, Palm Sunday, as Jesus is declaring his kingdom, he says it's a contrast to the world. You need to decide which kingdom you're going to be in. Are you going to follow me, the way of the cross, or are you going to follow the way of the world? It's a hard decision to make. Most people don't want to carry the cross, but Jesus says, when you come to me, and if you make me your king, then you need to come into my kingdom. And so part of Palm Sunday is not only the promise of God is fulfilled, but there's arrival of this king, and he's a new king with a new kingdom and has different standards for us to follow. L, when you're talking about Palm Sunday, stands for the Lamb of God. It's a Lamb of God set apart. Jesus is actually signifying as being the Lamb of God. Another part that's hard for us to understand. I mean, what's a Passover lamb? I mean, what's a lamb, you know, for one thing? You know, I can't even ever remember even eating a lamb. I mean, has anybody ate lamb lately? Maybe some. You have? Is it good? I don't know. I haven't eaten any of it. I certainly haven't done any sacrifices in the temple. I grew up in the temple of a church. I've never sacrificed a lamb, you know, so this sacrificial lamb is pretty alien to me to understand. Why would he be doing this? So let me give you a little background on it. On the 10th day of the month, 5 days before Passover, every Jewish family was to select a lamb and bring it into their home to watch over it and make sure it was perfect before they slaughtered it. It was done in remembrance of God's salvation in Exodus when Pharaoh refused to release the Israelites, remember, and God sent 10 plagues to Pharaoh to change his mind. The 10th plague was to kill every firstborn male in the land. But the Israelites were instructed to shed the blood of a lamb and place that lamb's blood on the doorpost, and the angel of death would pass over their homes and reserve God's judgment, protect their firstborn sons from death. So that's where the idea of Passover came. The angel passed over them, and their kids were not killed. The timing of Jesus is not coincidental. Jesus purposely comes in on the 10th day of the month, 5 days before Passover, being chosen by the nation of Israel as the ultimate Passover lamb. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that Jesus is our Passover lamb. When we put our faith in him, we trust in him, his sacrifice for our sins, God literally doesn't see our sin. He passes over it. He doesn't bring us the judgment we deserve. He forgives us completely and sets us free from eternal death and separation from him. As I said, I grew up in the church. Probably, if I was going to give my testimony, it's the most boring testimony in the world. You know, since I accepted Christ when I was 4, grew up in the church, I didn't have a lot that God saved me out of, but a lot that God saved me from, which isn't a bad testimony either if you're trying to raise your kids in the right way. But even though I grew up in the church, doesn't mean I didn't sin. Doesn't mean I didn't lie at times or something, or try to do something I shouldn't, or cheat at school on a test, or have the wrong attitudes or actions, or lust after something that I shouldn't be lusting after, and, you know, the same things that all the sins of people fall into. And so I think even growing up as a Christian, I kind of got into that attitude that I wanted to make up for it. I'm going to make up for those sins. I'm going to work a little harder. Maybe I'm going to have more devotions. I'm going to give a little more to God. Maybe I can go work in inner city ministry so God will see that I really love him and that I deserve to be his child. I think we all can fall into that idea of that we need to make up for our sins. We're going to work harder to overcome our sins when actually we don't have a makeup God. We have a Passover God. God does not expect us to make up for our sins. He passes over them. We don't deserve it. He chooses not to hold us in judgment because Christ paid the price for our sins. He paid by giving his blood so that we wouldn't have to go through that judgment. And it's important that we understand on Palm Sunday that he was the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. He is the Lamb of God that takes away our sins of the world. We need to make it personal. We need to understand he died for us, not for somebody else. He died for you so that God would pass over your sins and set you free. I'll give you an opportunity maybe at the end of the service in a few moments to pray and ask God to pass over your sins if you hadn't done that. But before we get to the end of our message, there's one more letter in Palm, and we want to share with that. P stood for what? The promise of God, right, that was fulfilled. God keeps his promises. A stands for the arrival of the king, and he has a new kingdom and a new way of doing things that we need to choose for him to be our king. And L stands for the Lamb of God set apart. He's going to be the Passover Lamb that's going to go to the cross and die for us. M, when we think about Palm Sunday, stands for Messiah misunderstood. As Jesus came into the city, it says the crowd shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Everyone in that time understood those words out of Psalm 118 to be about the long-awaited Messiah. And in chanting these words, they acknowledged Jesus as God's deliverer. However, there was some misunderstanding because they misunderstood the kind of Messiah that Jesus would be. They believed that Jesus was coming would be to confront and deliver them from their sufferings from Roman rule. Even the disciples had talked about, you know, when you come into your kingdom, you overthrow Rome, let me sit at your right hand, let me be one of the rulers. They couldn't seem to get by that. They couldn't understand that he was going to die. So even when he went to the cross and died, they what's this? He didn't overthrow the kingdom. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. There was misunderstanding. But Jesus didn't come to overthrow a government. He didn't come to overthrow Rome. He came to overthrow sin and defeat Satan and to set up a way so that everybody in the world could be free and come into a relationship with God, a much bigger salvation than they anticipated. I think we can still misunderstand salvation today. Sometimes we look at salvation in such a little way instead of the big way that God wants to do for us. We think that salvation sometimes is simply a ticket to heaven, that God just wants to provide forgiveness for us. But God wants to provide a lot more than just forgiveness for us. He wants to provide a lot more than just a ticket to heaven. If you went and read Psalm 118, verse 19, you'd see that Jesus said, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord." You see, Jesus came to open up the gates of righteousness. He not only came to forgive our sins, he came to empower us to live above sin. He came to add more into our life than just salvation. So many Christians want to say, "Well, I can't be any different, but I've got my ticket to heaven. That's all that I need." No, God wants to bundle a lot more stuff together than that. God's grace is a bigger amount than that. There's not just the forgiveness part, there's the righteousness part. He says, "I want to come in, I want to change your life. I want to give you peace. I want to give you hope. I want to help with your relationships. I want to provide your needs. I want you to live in a different place. I don't want you to go along with the world just to get along. I want you to be in a different world. I want you to find different righteousness. I want to open up the gates of righteousness for you so that I will give my righteousness to you." God doesn't want us just to be forgiven sinners. He wants us to be examples for him as we live out his righteousness on earth, and he can help us to do that. And so we need to understand there's more to grace than just forgiveness. There's a lot more that he wants to do in our life, but we misunderstand. We go for just the smaller amount instead of the bigger amount. So I would encourage you, even as we go towards the cross, we're thinking about the cross and Easter. The Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to raise our dead bodies and raise us from the grave. God wants to do more in our lives. He has much more for us. So look for it this week. And don't just be following for a little bit of salvation, but say, "God, I want to go into the way of righteousness. I don't want to go along with the world. I want to get out of the world. I want to live for you and be an example for you in the world. I want that peace and that joy that comes when I really make you king of my life." And so the misunderstood Messiah is what Palm Sunday is about. And sometimes I ask myself, you know, if I was in that crowd on that day, would I, you know, hail him as king on Sunday and worship him and then by Friday call, crucify him? Well, that's what a lot of the people did. When they found out they had to go to the cross, they didn't want to go to the cross. When they found out they had to move away from the world, they didn't want to move away from the world. When they found out that he wasn't going to overthrow Rome like they thought and that he wouldn't be the big ruler that they wanted, then they turned away from him. But let's not be the people that turn away from him. Let's be the people that seek him in a deeper way this week. I put two questions on your outline as far as applications for you this morning. Have you accepted Jesus as your Passover lamb? And have you embraced the full extent of his grace? And I'd like to just close in prayer with us today, and I'd like you to bow your heads in prayer. Maybe you're here today and really you haven't accepted Christ's forgiveness, understanding that he was your Passover lamb, and you've been trying to make up for it all your life and making up things and doing stuff to earn God's favor. And maybe this morning you would just like to pray. And if you find yourself in that situation, then just pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you went to the cross and you died for my sins so that God would pass over my sins and I wouldn't be held in judgment. I accept you as my Passover lamb. I believe in you today, and I ask you to forgive me and help me not to be trying to make up for my sins or earn the right, but help me just to accept your grace. Now, maybe you're here today also and you've accepted God's forgiveness, but you realize you've kind of been going along with the world, so you get along with the world, and you haven't really been separate in a new kingdom that God wants, and you'd like to see more blessings in your life. You'd like to see God's work in your life. You'd like to have that peace and that joy that comes in his kingdom. So you might just pray a prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for maybe getting too involved in the world's kingdom and not following your kingdom enough. And Lord, on this Palm Sunday, when I praise you as king, I really want to bow before you as king, and I pray that you would open up the gates of righteousness for me that I might walk in it, that I might understand that there's more to this grace than just forgiveness, that through faith I can have your righteousness upon me. Through faith you can change me on the inside. Through faith you can bring me peace and joy that will live out in my life and that I'll love others better. Help me to do that as I surrender myself to you again today as my king. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that this lesson today helped you understand Palm Sunday a little bit better. You can take it home with you and think about that in Holy Week.